Good day, everybody. Pastor Tim Karskatten here, Christian Center Shreveport, doing our daily podcast. So glad you're with us. We gave the word yesterday about the tearing and the shaking. Today, we're going to give application. How do we respond to the coming shaking? Are we ready for it? Where are you in that spectrum of preparing for what's to come? Let's give some keys today.
Over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name.
Amen. Your name is power. Well, welcome. It is our Daddy Podcast. Again, it's Tuesday, the 16th day of May, 2023. Have you had a good day? I pray you have. If not, let's pray for you here at the end and ask God to improve your day, these days that we're in that are so, so critical. To remind you again, always we're in the Isaiah 62 fast. If you want to join us each day at noon Central Time, we do a prayer time, a podcast for 1 hour, a live stream for 1 hour every day, 12, and then on Sundays we do it at 7 p.m. because of our church service times. But please join us. You can watch the replays. They're on all our platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and Rumble. You can check it out, as well as our live on our website and our app as well. It's ChristianCenterShreveport.com. You can scroll down. You'll see the Isaiah 62 fast. Find out more about it. God has really got us praying for Israel at the right time, the crisis that they had last week, and now things are brewing for the days ahead between the civil unrest in the country, between the judicial reform, and then the existential crisis from outside. So we want to continue to stay on the wall, like Isaiah 62. He says, put watchmen on the wall that will not be quiet, that we will cry out for the purpose of Israel in this hour. Thanks for joining us. And all those new people that may have found us, thank you. If you were watching that, some of you realize now we have this podcast. So thanks and welcome aboard. Well, we gave the word yesterday, prophetic word. I played it about tearing and shaking. And, you know, sometimes those words are sensational to many people. They get, kind of excited that something's going to happen. But I also have a heart. My heart is, as a leader in the church, the body of Christ, is to prepare people for shakings and make sure that they're fully equipped for what is to come. And we're going to talk about that today. We call this a prophetic application. I don't know how far I'll get today. If I don't finish this topic, I'll finish tomorrow. But in Proverbs 24, verse 10, it says, if you are slack or you're weak or you faint, different translations, in the day of distress, your strength is limited. And what that means is you don't have the power to go forward past that distressed moment. That's what we call people crash and burn. They have an emotional breakdown, a nervous breakdown. We have all these terms we use, and they just can't go forward. Well, we as Christ, not to say there are not things in life that can just shut us down. There can be. That's when we need others praying for us. But there is a strength that the Lord wants us to have in Him so that we can persevere and go through this crisis that we're going to come into in the days ahead. It's coming. I know we've had a lot of shaking so far, but there's more coming, this tearing and shaking. I think the tearing is important because God's going to remove the stumbling blocks, the objects that are keeping us from not being prepared for the coming shaking. Okay, I want you to understand that. When you have soul ties to things that are not healthy, in a distress, you'll choose the soul ties over the answer. I was watching a movie, an old movie. It was on the other night. Ronald Reagan was in it and others, but it was talking about this submarine commander and his sub commander, the guy underneath him, would not get a promotion because in difficult, stressful situations, he would let his emotions decide what to do, what was best for the soldiers and for the nation. And so he would be cast, he wouldn't be able to be promoted, and he was angry. And they told him, he says, because you move emotionally in crisis, that's a soul tie. And maybe you'll make a decision for that. I remember when I was a young pastor, I had one person in my ministry that was really out of line, but they had a gift and really a call, and I was trying to develop them. And anyway, I was not disciplining them, even when they were out of place. And I realized that I was subjecting the entire congregation to be subject to this one person out of order. And I was choosing that, my soul tie of wanting to be liked and wanting to be accepted by everybody, especially this person. Then I was compromising the entire congregation, the prophetic purpose of our ministry. So I finally had to deal with this person, and this person got angry, left. But the church, the body, got healthier. Okay, that's what the type and shadow of this is about. You don't let your emotions, the soul ties, things in your life that are above what God's purposes are. And when shaking comes, those are the things that are going to be shaken away from, the things that are going to be tore away from you. And it's better to get rid of those things now. That's why we're fasting during this time, to make sure that we remove the bondages, the things that have the wickedness, the things that are on our lives, so that when he calls and when he answers, we're ready to run with that. And we're not distracted by our life and what we're going through. Well, there's a unusual passage in Jeremiah 12. I'm not saying unusual, it's unique. In the 12th chapter, and you've heard it before, Jeremiah is in this rough place with these people. They're being difficult where he's at. And the Lord says to him, if you have to run with footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in the land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? You know what he's saying here, and I'm going to break this down. This is the prophetic application of the shaking. You're in a land of peace. It's tough. Yeah, these are not good people around you. But if you're not doing well now, imagine what happens when it gets tough. And I said this. I believe this. We prayed it the other night during our prayer time. Whether we like it or not, believe it or not, I should say, in America and maybe almost all nations, really, unless you're in a war zone like Syria or Ukraine or something, we're in a land of peace. It's not a beautiful peace because we got tyranny everywhere as far as morals and dictation and, you know, what government's trying to do to us, all the overreaches and so forth. But it is still a land of peace. And if we can't survive now, well, how are we going to do when they start putting us in jail? How are we going to do when all of a sudden they're going to say, you can't speak the name of Jesus, just like we sang about before, we played the song before we started today? How are we going to do it then? How are we going to do when our families are being challenged? This is what happened in Germany in the 1930s, 1940s. They didn't do well in the land of peace. The Christians didn't, for the most part. And when it got really thick, they caved. And we don't want to cave. We want to rise to the occasion. So how do we do that? We prepare now in the time of peace. You build while you're in the time of peace. So like if you run a marathon, and then, you know, if you want to run a marathon, then you're running 10 miles. That's not such a big deal because you've trained for that. You know, but all of a sudden you got to run extra, you know, it gets a little bit harder. But if you're going to run for a marathon and after 3 miles you faint, well, how are you going to finish 26 miles? You haven't prepared endurance, right? We have to look at it that way. And that's what this passage is talking about. Jeremiah, he's having to learn something here. He's saying, the Lord's saying to him, this is the Lord speaking to him. He says, I have greater dangers for you to encounter than those that you have been exposed to at the Anathoth, these people that are around him. If you be so disturbed with them, who are just basically footmen, how will you be able to grapple with those that are enemies that are far greater when you run into them, when you meet them in Jerusalem. These people where he's at now, they seem to be understood that it was a land of peace, that the land of your friends, whereas you have the confidence if your enemies meet with you there in the land of peace and you faint, then how are you going to do in the dwellings or in the swellings of Jordan? That is a place where you are like to meet and increase greater troubles. You're going to meet them. So that's what it means, the harvesting, the overbank, the harvest of the Jordan overrunning its banks. You know, we hear the stories of, I've heard them, of people in China smuggling Bibles in before we always had the internet. But they smuggled them in. And I had one testimony I heard of a guy, they have to sneak around all day to get to this house to have a house meeting. And they get inside and all of a sudden they feel safe and they start rejoicing, this loud screaming tambourines. And he's like, wow, all day we've been hiding and so forth, but now we're there. Those people have prepared in the daytime so they can rejoice in the nighttime. Now we, in the Western culture, we treat the Bible of, or the body, you know, sometimes a body of Christ wrongly. We use it sometimes what we want. We don't even deal with the social issues. And I've talked about this ad nauseum to you guys. Studies have shown surveyed pastors and asked them all, how many of you believe that the Bible talks about social and political issues? 90% of them said yes. And then they asked them, how many of you preach about it in your pulpit? 12%. So here we are. We're in a land of peace. We have all these social, political issues, and the pulpits as a whole are not dealing with it. So they're not dealing well with the footman. Wait till it gets really tough. And then get this. I believe those people that won't deal with the things today and won't confront the issues today are going to be the ones who turn us in tomorrow. They're already compromising. Absolutely compromising. I've been saying this all along about the COVID crisis. That if you just submitted to whatever the government told you to do without any question, you took the jab, you put everything down, you shut everything down in your life, you did everything. I'm talking about not the first few weeks. We were trying to figure ourselves out. But in after, 6 months, a year, you're still complying to everything they ask you to do and without question, just blindly. Something's wrong. I watched a secular comedian does a whole set on that about how he couldn't believe how he just believed everything they said, like he took the jab, did everything without even questioning. You know, he said, what if I was in the time of Germany and the Nazis were doing this? He said, I would have capitulated immediately. I proved it. That's what he said. And that's what we're doing right now. So this preparation, how do we prepare for a shaking, is we confront the issues today that enter our society, in our lives. And because when intense persecution comes, we're not going to be able to handle it if we can't handle what's going on today. And we have to do that. We have to cry out to God in the, and let me shut this down here. I've got a lot to say, but I want to just encourage you. The faithful Church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3, he says in verse 10, he says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also keep you from the hour of trial, which has come upon the world to test those who dwell on the earth. Oh, we get a clue here. Philadelphia was a faithful church that kept Christ's word and did not deny him. They endured intense opposition from the world and resisted confronting the evil trends of other churches. And they persevered in loyalty to Christ in the truth of the gospel. Perseverance requires that you trust God. And you trust him that you love him, that he loves you, and to know that I have loved you. Verse 9 says that. I want you to catch this. They were confronted. They were very good at that. Oswald Chambers says this, a saint's life is in the hands of God like a bow and arrow in the hands of an archer. God is aiming at something the saint cannot see, but our Lord continues to stretch and strain. And every once in a while, the saint says, I can't take it anymore, yet God pays no attention. He goes on stretching until the purpose is in sight and then he lets the arrow fly, you need to entrust yourself to God's hands. Wow. I mean, you can relate to that. I can. It's like, God, don't you see this? And he ignores us and he stretches and he shoots you. That's what it means to put our trust in him. This is how we're going to prepare for the coming shaking. We confront today. We prepare today. We don't slack today. We don't shrink back today. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If we shrink back, his soul will find no pleasure in us. Let's not let that be said of us. All right, come back tomorrow. We'll keep talking about this topic, preparing for the shaking. Thanks for listening. We are still in our Isaiah 62 fast. Go to our website, ChristianCentersReport.com, slide down to the icon and click there and follow us. We're doing that every day at noon Central Time, Monday through Saturday, and then Sundays at 7 p.m. Central Time as we pray for Israel. Thank you, each and one of you that have been sowing into our ministry and blessing us. You can do that on our app as well. You can see our products, and you can also see everything we do on our platforms. Well, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.